We are live here at the 2009 Sun and Fun Fly-In, our 35th annual event. I am your host, Dave, the Radio Guy Shellbitter. I have a brand new announcer volunteer, Mr. John Long, working with us up here on the deck this morning, and John has a guest. Take it away, John.
Good morning, Sun and Fun. It's good to be here on a gorgeous Thursday. I think we're having that that weather that if God finds out about it, he's going to send somebody down to collect, and we'll have a storm by dinner. I am sitting here, and I have the pleasure of introducing you to Gary Hyatt. He lives in Naples, but he has carved out an enormous and important piece of American history. Gary, I understand that you were traveling, and you went to an antique bookstore, and you found something quite unique. What was that?
I found a copy of the register from the Davis-Monthan Airfield that lay open on a desk out there for pilots and passengers to sign between 1925 and 1936. I read through this register. It's 218 handwritten pages, and as I read through it, I saw many famous pilot names, many famous airplanes in there, and it made me realize that it's probably one of the most important civil, military, and commercial aviation artifacts that we have in the country today, actually.
Now, this book you got was from 1925, and it carried all of the arrivals through 1936, correct?
Correct. And there are 3,689 records in there that were recorded by hand between 1925 and 1936.
Now, you showed me a few of those, and I was absolutely amazed to find Charles Lindbergh's name, Admiral Jimmy Doolittle's name, and then a whole bunch of others. What were these people doing at Davis-Monthan Airfield?
Well, Lindbergh came to Tucson in September of 1927, about 5 months after his transatlantic flight. The Guggenheim Foundation sponsored an around-the-country tour for Lindbergh in the Spirit of St. Louis, and he landed there to give a speech and dedicate the airport and just socialize as a part of his goodwill tour. And his landing there was accompanied by a Fairchild airplane that was sponsored, a DOT airplane, a Department of Transportation airplane, that the Guggenheim sponsored as a chase airplane to carry press and so forth. But one unique thing about my website is that besides the biography page for Charles Lindbergh that's on my site, as well as the technography page for the Spirit of St. Louis, there was a gentleman from Tucson that sent me a movie film of an actual motion picture film of Lindbergh on the ground with the Spirit of St. Louis and on his way to the University of Arizona campus to give a talk and back. And it shows Lindbergh arriving at Tucson in 1927, and it shows him the next morning departing from Tucson in 1927.
I don't mean to jump in here, but we kind of got the cart in front of the horse, and we need to talk about you a little bit more. You found this book in an antique bookshop in Virginia, correct?
That's correct. It was an antique bookshop in Virginia. They sold aviation memorabilia, and as I recall, it was June the 4th, 2000, which was a significant date for me because the book has changed my life, as you can imagine, and they were going out of business, actually. And the book was originally listed for $13, and I got it for half price, so I walked away with a life-changing book for $6.50.
For the price of a gallon of 100 low lead, you found a mission. Well, but so you bought this book, you began to flip through it. I've had a chance to look through some of it, and I know that it had to have taken you literally tens of thousands of hours to decipher and drill down to research and collate and organize this material. What gave you the idea that you could create a website that's a virtual museum that's out there for the whole world, and that you could present this, you could save this bit of history for everyone into perpetuity?
Good question. Well, what I did, obviously, you have a book like that, and you start thumbing through it, and you see pilots and airplanes, and you start saying, well, gee, I saw that pilot listed several pages back. Where was that? So you start shuffling back and forth through the book, and that gets frustrating after a while. So what I did is I took the entire book and committed it to a database, a computerized database. I use a Microsoft Access, a database engine. And once I had the entire book databased, and that's how I know there are 3,689 records in it, because I read each one and entered the data by hand. Well, once I had the database, you can do the kinds of things that you can do with the database. You can sort, you can query for pages, and you can do math on dates and things like that that you can do with the database. So a couple of years went by, and I actually did a few analyses. I wrote a couple of papers that were published, one in the EAA magazine, actually, Sport Aviation, a couple of years ago, on female pilots that landed there. There were 42 female pilots that signed the register. And then I was able to do an economic analysis for an early airline, Standard Airlines, that came through Tucson between 1929 and 1930, 1928 and 1930. And I published that. And then I got the idea to develop a website. And what I did is I took the database and mounted it on the server. And so the website is actually driven now by the database.
Well,
so
we need to mention that before we go any further. For those of you writing this down, this website, this chunk of American history, aviation's golden age, you can find at D like Davis, M like Monthan, dmairfield.org.
All one word, deltamikeairfield.org, dmairfield.org.
Mm-hmm. And if you have the energy to do it today, make sure you have between 3 and 5 hours, because you're not going to want to let go. If you want to hear a little bit more of this story, Gary, share with us some of the contacts you've made with not only people who landed and signed that book in that area from 1925 to 1936, but their children and grandchildren and maybe great-grandchildren.
Yeah, my website and this register has become a very rich source of history and interpersonal contacts for me. I have been in contact with four of the signers of this register who signed anywhere from 1929 to 1934. And all of these folks are since passed away, but what a great time I had sitting and talking with these four people about their adventures across country and through Tucson at the time. Also, about 100 people, over 100 people, have contacted me through my website. There's a contact us button, who are relatives of these pilots, and they have offered me pictures and information about their grandfathers and uncles and great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers in some cases.
So after you wipe the tears away, what's the next step? Where are you going now with this?
Well, I have a line on a couple of additional registers from different parts of the country, which a couple of them I have copies of. I haven't committed them to databases yet, but what I plan on doing is committing them to databases, putting them on the server, and then linking them all together with the idea of perhaps tracking itineraries across the country by specific airplanes or specific pilots.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any time at all, you don't want to miss this piece of aviation's golden history. Gary Hyatt, you are truly my new hero, to have put in the dedicated time and the energy and the years of your life into achieving this. You're just simply my hero. Folks, you want to go see him at Delta Mike Airfield, DM Airfield, all one word, dmairfield.org, and do it. Spend some time. See if you can add a little piece of history to his big chunk of history. Gary, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, John.